Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. We are the BattleTech Podcast, highlighting the storied mercenary units in the BattleTech universe. My name is Seth, aka White Fox, and I am your host. I'm joined today by a very special guest, my co-host for the day. Some of you may know him, Kyle, aka Kaz. Kyle, how are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing, Seth?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for staying up late with me to record this podcast. It has been definitely, we've talked about it in getting together many times before, but I'm glad that we can finally do it.
Likewise.
Well, today we are talking about a fun mercenary unit in episode 25 of the Mercenary Star Podcast, and that is are the Elysian Lancers. Kaz, you're an expert on the Lancers, are you not?
That's the term you want to use for it. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Your crash course in the last 10 hours or so.
Yeah.
That's great. Quick. We are going to get to talking about the Elysian Lancers. I'm very excited about it. They are a very cool unit. But before we do that, first, this is your first time on the show, so a couple intro BattleTech questions for you. Kaz, when and how did you get into BattleTech?
Semi-complicated question, but a little similar to your previous co-host, Zimmer. A little bit of exposure here and there without realizing it was all interconnected with Mech Assault, BattleTech on Steam, and Mech Warrior 5. And then somehow the dots all came together. And this is all one big IP. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And a little bit after, I've learned about the tabletop, which blew my mind that was a precursor to video games. What?
Yeah. I mean, there were video games before, but not a lot.
Fair.
But yeah, the fact that it came out, as a tabletop game first, was definitely, it's still something that people don't know if they come to it from the video games, which, have a huge following in and of themselves. So, cool. So let's see. I know that you enjoy getting involved in, some of the you've gone to cons, you've gone to some tournaments, but what have you been playing lately?
Tabletop or video game?
Both.
Been doing a good bit of MWO or MechWarrior Online lately. And the MechWarrior 5 Shadow of Kerensky DLC.
Yes.
I restarted my whole campaign to try and play through everything again.
Awesome.
Quite the grind.
It is. It is.
And then tabletop wise, I haven't been able to make it to my local game shop and play with my local guys lately as much as I would like to. Otherwise, I do get to do a little bit of classic with the campaign. We did try out Gothic recently.
Oh, nice. How was it?
It wasn't as bad as I anticipated.
Okay. Hey, you know what? That's glowing praise from what I hear. So,
I mean, there's some beefs and stuff, but we'll save that for another time. Yeah.
All good. All good. I mean, as long as you enjoyed it, that's what counts.
But, Alpha Strike, we do a lot of the 350. We also dabble in a little bit of the Alpha Strike open format, which has been expanding from the Michigan area lately.
Nice.
And also, we just finally got to try out BattleTech Encounters, the Push Your Luck Dice game.
I have it right here. I have not tried it yet either. So
I finally took the plastic off.
Nice. What, did you have fun? Was it good?
I think we played it a little wrong at first, but it was fun. And I want to try it again and try and push my luck a little more.
Uh-huh.
I played a little too conservatively.
Yeah. No, I need to as well. I just need to force my kids. That's really all it is. So I haven't done that yet. Well, good, good, good. Any factions that you're excited about recently, like that you maybe you're playing or prepping a list for maybe a 350 tournament coming up in the next few months? Or is it a surprise? I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Those are secrets. Although I do really like the idea of, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Craig Baxter is planning on donating money to a local pantry for every Word of Blake list that signs up in both doubles and singles, I believe.
Oh, really?
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, it's for a good cause. You know, why not play a Blakeist for a day?
I guess. Maybe. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see if I can bite that bullet or not.
Yeah. That's fun. And speaking of, you're talking about going to KSAG, right?
Correct.
Yes. If you don't know what KSAG is, it is Kroll Siblings something, 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 better known as Kroll Sisters of Go-Go.
Annual Gathering of Gamers?
Gamers, yes, that is it. Annual, yes. Kroll Siblings Annual Gathering of Gamers. Which, by the way, Kaz, I don't know if you know this, but I did the design for the badges.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so the Alpha Strike card, like lanyard badges.
Dude.
Yeah, so I got to do that. I did it for Andrew last year, and so I know he was
pumped. I still have mine. Pumped. It was right here at my desk, but then I cleaned it off before recording.
Because I'm seeing your desk, right?
That's kind you of never key know. Not to.
See, the key is you just keep everything like below camera level and you're fine. You just gotta make sure everything behind your camera, which, by the way, if you're not watching the YouTube video, you should definitely check it out. Kaz has an awesome BattleTech, what is it? Curtain? Sheet? Something.
It was a tapestry. Tapestry on Amazon a couple of years back.
That's awesome.
I didn't have room to put it anywhere, and I was like, you know what? I think I know exactly what I'm going to use it for.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's cool. I like it. It's got a catapult, an atlas, and what's the other one back there?
I think it's a Shadowhawk. It's a little blurry.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I could be wrong. You watch the internet tear me a new one for getting it wrong.
No, it's fine. It's hard to see. They can't see it anyway, I think, on the screen that I have. So they can see the atlas behind your head. That's what they can see.
Yeah.
So also, Kaz and I do share an affinity for faux hawks. It's kind of hard to see, but his is definitely taller than mine, for sure. And we're both coming in with that gray, right? Just got to get... mine needs to be a little bit more silver like yours. Yours is awesome, so...
You'll get there.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it's I've got a lot here in the beard. And there, like, you can kind of see there's some here. It's coming. So my wife was looking at me the other day, and she was like, man, you've got way more gray in your hair than I realized. I was like, yep. So it's all good. It's all good. Well, hey, let's jump into today's unit, the Elysian Lancers. And I am super excited about them because I didn't know anything about them until the Mercenary Kickstarter was going. And we got some of the new fiction, specifically the, like, hold on. I'm going to try to remember the word for it. The Mercenary Tales novellas that they were releasing during the time. And they released one called Riptides, which is Sea Fox and the Elysian Lancers. And I was very interested because, as a fan of foxes myself, I appreciate the sea foxes. And so just reading that story, I really enjoyed it. We will talk about that in just a little bit. I know you have not had a chance to peruse it yet and enjoy that fun story, but we'll talk about it. But that's when I learned about them, and so we're going to talk about them today. Funny enough, they actually first appeared in the House Davian, the Federated Sun's source book, from 1988. Cass, That's how long ago in the real world they were introduced.
88.
Yeah, 1988.
They're as old as me.
There you go. Nice. Yeah, they were in...
Oh, I just aged myself.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. I got you beat, so no worries. But yeah, so they were out since 88, and so that was the first time that they showed up. But in universe, which is really what we're here to talk about, they have been around also probably for as long as any of the others, like as long as the longest ones. And part of that is because they've been around since before the Star League. So yeah, let's dive into that. I'm going to switch over to my presentation. Again, if you are not watching on the YouTube, that is completely fine. Continue listening. Don't try to watch while you're driving or anything like that. But if you want to see the visuals, go over and check it out. It's youtube.com/@themercenarystar. Actually, what is it? At the Mercenary Star podcast. It is the podcast. Yes. So we're going to take a look here real quick. Because we do have some fun, interesting information. And the Alyssian Lancers were founded in 2572. You know, I mean, Kaz, I think we're closer to 2572 than the current timeline, actually.
I think. Yeah,
not by a lot, but by a little bit. I think we are actually closer to that. So funny enough. So
your head a little.
Yeah, right. They were formed by the Alyssian Order. So there wasn't like a single founding commander or something like that. They were formed by the Alyssian Order, which was an ancient knightly brotherhood from Alycia on the island of Sicily on Terra, on Earth. So they have their roots in a knightly brotherhood from Earth, which is so cool. I don't know about you, but anything having to do with like knights, I'm instantly, you know, like somewhat interested at least. But yeah,
so they're knights. So they're a knightly.
Knightly, true. But it's a knightly order, right? You know, all that entails. So yes, they were formed by the Alyssian Order, and what was really cool about them is that all of the members of this knightly order were from different nations across the Inner Sphere, and so whenever they decided to kind of go independent, they basically left their countries of origin and basically all committed to be a part of the order and support each other. And so then they had quite a large number of members. And Kaz, go ahead and tell us about that.
So in their initial muster, they actually boasted 9 regiments, or pretty much a division, which I had to stop and do the math, comes out to anywhere between 972 mechs all the way up to potentially 1620 mechs.
That's a lot of mechs.
That is a lot of mechs.
And that's like a mercenary unit. Like, they mustered to be independent and basically be a mercenary unit at that time, which was during the Star League. So they became mercenaries during the Star League. It wasn't after the Star League. And during that time, they essentially were serving all areas of the Inner Sphere. They've served each of the great houses in turn. So yeah, pretty cool there, for sure. Gosh, my nose itches, so if I'm hitting it on the video, I apologize. But yeah, so they came in with just a huge numbers immediately, which is pretty cool. We'll go into their history here in just a second. But before we do that, let's see. They also had, getting ahead of myself here. So basically that piece of fiction called Riptides, which is by Randall Bills, came out in 2023 as one of those mercenary tales. That's the only fiction that we have for it, but they are in or mentioned in quite a few source books. They, like I said, were first mentioned in House Davian. They were mentioned in, Objective Raids, which was from like 96, I think. They're mentioned in the First and Second Succession Wars, Field Report AFFS, Historical Wars 3039, Jihad Secrets, the Blake Documents, Field Manual 3085, 3145, and Updates, and AFFS. More recently, they're in Dominions Divided, which has a good story about them, and also has the piece of art that is on the title slide, as well as we'll show it here in just a minute. And then Combat Manual Mercenaries, which has a smaller recap of their history and also gives some good information on their regiments. That they didn't have 9 regiments for long. I think the longest, they had 4 regiments for a long time, but in Ilclan, they're down to 2. There's that. Like I said, they did leave their original nations and came together voluntarily. But then when it came to the end of the Star League, who did they side with in the Ameris Civil War, if you will?
They sided with Alexander Kerensky. They were mostly used as a support role, though. During the final invasion, they took 2 regiments, but those 2 regiments were completely destroyed and
yes,
lost.
Unfortunate. But it was some pretty heavy fighting there. And you're saying the final invasion of Terra at the time,
yeah,
right?
Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. They're both utterly destroyed. After the Ameris Civil War, they returned to Terra and found that their sacred sites, they had like the Knightly Brotherhood had a monastery, and that monastery were completely destroyed. They only were able to salvage a stone archway, and it was not complete. They did not find the keystone. But they use it even into the Ilclan era for certain ceremonies, like when they choose a new commanding officer. And when they do that, they do it every 6 years, which is kind of an interesting timeline. But every 6 years, all the unit's high-ranking officers have a meeting called the Conclave, and they vote upon which of their number is to be selected as the general. So, It's a really interesting take on ruling or the authority structure in a mercenary unit, right? But it is also that is something that is part of the Riptides book and comes into play. So what else we got? After the Civil War and going into the Succession Wars, they again took up the role of mercenaries and serving each of the great houses. However, the Capellans did try to company store them, meaning that the Capellans tried to basically make all their resources so expensive that they would be indebted to Capella or to House Liao. And they would then not be able to leave, and they would have to basically become a house unit for the Capellan Confederation. They were able to escape it, but they had to sell a bunch of assets for it, and they immediately went to serve the Capellan Confederation's enemies, which were House Davian.
They actually had to sell a bunch of their dropships. Or not
they did.
Jump ships.
They had
multiple jump ships, and they sold a bunch of them just to make ends meet.
Just to afford it. And they, which I think by Ill-Clan, they have two jump ships. So, which is still not bad for an independent mercenary command.
No, definitely.
So then they went to the Federated Sons and decided to take the contract there. But why don't you tell us about that, Kez?
So they took the contract with the Federated Sons, but they did it outside of the MRBC, and they then continued to serve with them for like centuries.
Just pretty much
never left the Fed.
They
Sons.
Just kept re-upping that non-MRBC contract.
Part of me wants the details too of like what was in that contract that allowed them to like go around. I don't know. I'm curious the details of it. I really want that. Didn't give me the nitty gritty of that contract that it was so good to last centuries.
Yeah, exactly. I think they were used, mostly on the Capellan border. So I'm sure they saw a decent amount of action, but also probably had good periods of just garrisoning and such. Because again, all through the Succession Wars, after leaving or after joining up with Federated Sons, they just kind of stayed with them.
Yeah.
It looks like, so yeah, at the end of the Second Succession War, that's when they were down to four regiments of Lancers. And none were quite at full strength. Part of it being nukes and barbarism, as you put it, which is fantastic. I love that. Not for them. That stinks. But, you know.
Yeah.
That's not fun for them.
Intense, those early Succession Wars.
They were.
So I don't think anyone was really at full strength after any of them.
No. But let's see. Moving past the Succession Wars into the Clan Invasion era, what were they doing then?
They were just hanging out on the Capellan Fed Sons border. They didn't partake in any part of the Clan Invasion.
Which is kind of crazy, but I guess also if you're the Federated Sons and you've got like a 2-4 regiment unit that you can confidently leave protecting your border, hey, I mean, I guess that's not a bad thing. It probably freed up more actual Federated Sons and Lyran house troops to go fight against the clans.
Not a bad play.
No, but you know, then it also kind of limits them. They don't get any of that sweet, sweet clan tech.
I believe they did get tossed the occasional bone here or there.
Oh, I'm sure they did at some point, but they weren't getting any of that salvage, that's for sure. But it also means they weren't destroyed outright either.
True.
So
they didn't have to face the horrors of fighting the clans.
They did not. Yeah. So then let's see. We kind of move past that into the FedCom Civil War era. And they tried to be neutral at first between Victor and Catherine. But then they ended up siding with Victor. I think probably due to their ties with the Federated Sons, they probably felt a little bit more loyalty. So they did end up siding with Victor and did get in on some of the fighting, actually. But not too much, although one of their units, I think, suffered pretty badly in it. But let's be honest, we're here to talk about what we have the most information on, and that is Late Dark Age into the Ill-Clan era. Randall wrote a fantastic little novella about the Elysian Lancers and the Sea Foxes. And so let's have a little conversation about that. I'm gonna give you the short version. So minor spoilers. This is another reason why I've been excited about them and about what the Sea Foxes are doing. So in the Ilclan era, they have been stuck again on the Capellan border. And there was some fighting between the Capellan Confederation and the Federated Sons. And they were part of the action on New Syrtis. And they've unfortunately failed to hold on to New Syrtis. So it fell into the hands of the Capellan Confederation. They believe that Julian Davian was not happy with them. And so then was basically just making them sit and play guard duty and not give them any kind of favorable contract. So essentially, they are coming to the end of their contract, and they're also coming to their 6-year period to choose a new general when a Clan Sea Fox dropship with a Sakon, Yale Labov. I'm probably not saying that correctly. But he shows up and he has found, because he has basically been researching mercenary units with the idea that in order to compete in the inner politics of the Clan Sea Fox, in order to basically have a project that is potentially as beneficial as restoring the HPG network, which is what one of his competing Sakons is doing, he decides to, you know what? I'm going to create a new and better version of the Mercenary Review and Bonding Commission. Not really create a new version, but basically he's like, let's set Sea Fox up to be, you know, the prime intermediary for mercenaries and clients. Because during the Ilclan era, if you don't know, the MRBC has no money. They don't really have any authority anymore. They are corrupt as well. And they are just not doing well by clients or by mercenary units. And so he basically has the idea to do that, but he needs a moderately large mercenary unit, but one that's not so well known that they can operate independently without, like, you know, going through a contract, and ends up landing on the Elysian Lancers as the perfect candidate, but not just anyone. It needs to be he needs someone with a certain personality. And so he ends up finding one of the colonels of the regiments who he basically comes in and not really blackmails them, but he kind of comes in and entices them heavily to choose her as the general. And her name is Luciana Araya Morales. Again, I'm probably saying that incorrectly, but she was a colonel and was even, I think, maybe one of the youngest colonels. However, she's got a little bit of, you know, spunk, a little bit of fighting spirit, and he and the Sea Fox Sakon wants her to be the leader to basically help his cause. What he does to entice them is during the battle for Terra between Clan Wolf and Jade Falcon and the Republic of the Sphere, Clan Sea Fox is hanging out, basically waiting to support whoever becomes the Ill Clan. Well, when they get invited down to the planet to recognize that Clan Wolf is victorious and that they are now the Ill Clan, he sends some agents off on a secret mission, and they recover the keystone to the arch from the monastery of the Elysian Lancers. You don't know that until he reveals it in the story, but he basically says, hey, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm also going to give you an amazing contract deal. I'm going to negotiate an incredible contract, and you're going to have top picks of resources from Clan Seafox. But you have to go through us as your contract negotiator, kind of like instead of going through the MRBC, and this young brash colonel, Colonel Morales, needs to be the general. And so she shows up with the keystone and they're like, well, that's a pretty good deal. And so they take it, essentially. So that is the story in a nutshell. I highly encourage you to go read it. I think it's one of those novellas, so it's probably like $2.99 or $3.99 on the Catalyst web store for the PDF. But like I said, definitely worth it. It has me excited to see what Clan Seafox does with mercenaries in Ilclan, because there's a bunch of mercenaries popping up. Mercenaries are fighting in the Federated Suns and getting some good deals there. And then they're just, you know, the whole kind of just rearming of the Inner Sphere that's going on. It's a fun time to be a mercenary. So, anything else about them, Kaz, that you have?
I'm really interested to see, because they're still on the Capellan border, and we don't know what the Capellans are doing yet in Ilclan. We're still waiting for those details, where things are going to go with the Elysian answers, because I think they're probably going to get a lot more action soon. I could be wrong. Yeah. But
so I believe, I'm not sure. I've got to go back and look. I think that some of the Lancers, at least, are heading to the Dragon's Tongue to fight the Draconis Combine, actually. And I think that's what's in Dominions Divided, is that they go to the Draconis Combine and they are fighting there.
Not sure if all of them do, though. I could be wrong.
I don't think all of them do, no. Let's see.
I thought I saw something say that they actually... Yeah,
so the 21st Rangers... Well. The 21st Rangers, which is not the command regiment, but their second regiment. They go. So they fight, and I don't know that they're fully victorious. But they go and they fight. it is the Worthy of a Champion section in Dominions Divided, which is on page 68 of that fun source book. There is also the newest and best piece of art that we have for them, which we can show now. And again, so if you're watching the video presentation, I'm showing a cutout of that mech. It is a regent, which is super cool. I love the regent. But yeah, it's a regent with their paint scheme. And I also have it next to a longbow, which is a painted miniature that I honestly don't know who painted it. So I apologize. If you do know, let me know in the comments. But Brent from Of Mechs and Men sent me this picture, and it is very cool. Their color scheme is khaki, green, and rust red, essentially. So it's that kind of orangey red. And they kind of have like a base of that khaki tan color, and then they have some green camo kind of across it. The longbow has like big green kind of camo stripes across it, whereas the regent has a much smaller camo pattern on it. But I guess when you're making a, you know, a digital image, it's a lot easier to do that. But I don't know. What do you think, Kaz? What do you think of this paint scheme here?
Which one?
Either one. Just of the colors, the paint scheme. Which one do you like more?
I've never been a fan of khaki, but at the same time, like the combination, somehow it kind of just works, especially in the the Dominions Divided artwork.
Yeah, they resonates. They use so looking at the longbow, they basically use that kind of rust red as highlight colors. Whereas in, like I said, the green, the kind of olive green goes across the khaki in kind of like camo stripes. And they do that a little bit with the Regent, but they also kind of use that rust red as panel lining. And I like that. I like the kind of outline of that. So I think that's pretty cool. Along with that, I have some more painted miniatures that are from the same painter that also there's a lot of good mechs there, so it's pretty cool. It's a good looking force, I will say. So props to whoever painted those. Brent, if you know, let me know. If not, please, someone let us know in the comments. We would love to know. But Kaz, is there anything else you want to talk about before we move on to talking about what we think would make a good force pack for the Elysian Lancers?
Don't think so.
Okay. I don't think I have anything else either. So let's talk about our ideal Elysian Lancers force pack. And when we say ideal, you know, this is just fun because we really have no idea. But let's look at it here. So I have some things on the screen, which is kind of a combination of your list and my list. But please tell me your list is first, and we'll go from there.
Okay. So the repos, after you mentioned it was in the story, because I haven't gotten a chance to read it, it made sense that the Ostrak be in there. So, yeah. As far as a variant, I've had a little bit of trouble with this because we've been getting a lot of variants lately. But I thought it would be kind of fun to have either a Warhammer or Warhammer 2C, or even if you want to tweak it and allow maybe the Hammer Hands.
Yeah, maybe. And I think you got some of these from what did you search on the Master Unit list?
I'm kind of mostly searched a lot of Fed Sun units. Yeah. And a few that crossed over with mercenary units. I would assume,
I think
serving with the Fed Suns for over 200 years, that you would have a good amount of Fed Sun units.
I think that's a prime candidate for it, for sure.
No, yeah, that's good. They're actually shopping across the galaxy.
Of course.
The jumping mech, I wanted to get a little silly at first and thought maybe the King Crab. A jumping King Crab might be fun. But on a more serious note, Valkyrie or Victor, I think, would be really cool.
Yeah.
We need more of those. The Victor doesn't see enough action.
I do like the Victor. I would probably lean towards the Victor out of those two. But I have a special one myself for my own list. But what was your new suggestion?
The Dart.
The Dart.
Fast little guy that I love an Alpha Strike. It's a quick little zoomy guy, and we still don't have him yet. So
I would love to see that. I was looking at some of the variants of the Dart, and there's some pretty cool ones there for sure. I like the one, and I assume too, it's like it's kind of hard, right? So like an Alpha Strike, you don't get the flavor of the individual weapons, right? But I think that the newest variant, which is What was it? The newest variant was the 6T, which uses a light fusion engine, but it has a light PPC and an ER small laser with targeting, both with the targeting computer. I like that combination. I like light PPCs, and also the Elysian Lancers have. We'll go over their unit composition in a minute, but one of their forces that they focus by weapon types, so that would go in the PPC group, I think, fairly well. And then what about the vehicle?
So I couldn't help myself. I love tanks, big beefy tanks. So the Challenger main battle tank.
Nice.
So beefy little dude, looks cool. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the Carnivore, but not quite.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So, I am down for more tanks, for sure.
It's also primarily seen in the Fed Sons and Commonwealth. So
awesome. Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head there with the Fed Sons list. Well, so for my list, I obviously inspired you to add the Ostrog, because it is the Colonel's mech in the novella. But then I also went with the Regent for the variant. That was pretty much determined by the Dominions Divided artwork. but also because I feel like with the Regent, it's an Inner Sphere Omnimech. And so, hey, that would be an easy one to find a fun variant for the Regent that we don't have. And then for jumping, it's a little silly as well. But I went with the Jumping Hunchback. It's the HBK-5S. And I went with that one because, looking at the MUL, it is available to all mercenaries and has been available to the Fed Sons in the past. In Ill-Clan, it's not necessarily available to Fed Sons. But again, being available to mercenaries, I feel like that's good enough. But I picked the Hunchback because of how they use lighter, faster mechs in the command regiment to get in close. And so having a Hunchback with an LB-20 that can jump in close is pretty awesome. So that was my vote for the jumping. And then I didn't have a new suggestion or a vehicle suggestion, so I went ahead and put the Dart and the Challenger on here because I thought those were solid picks. So I love it. I think that's a potentially awesome list. We got a light, medium, heavy, and assault. So
that was
not,
try.
That was not planned. But yeah, so thinking on that or that force, and then also looking at the which one was it? Looking at the combat manual mercenaries. We do have information on four of the regiments, and so I wanted to share that because it gives us a little clue onto how they fight, how they play. This is something that Zimmer and I did. We talked about how you'd play them or how you'd play them as an op four or in a campaign, and so I love that. So looking at it here, and let me show you here. These are the four regiments. We had the 59th Strike Regiment, which is one of the two that is still around in the Ill-Clan era. It's the Mobile Command, and it, like I said, they like to close fast with the enemy and engage at close range. The fastest mechs distract, while the slower, better-armed mechs move up and finish them off. And in this description, it says the heaviest mech in the regiment is 75 tons, so no assault mechs. But fast-moving, hard-hitting mechs. 1st Battalion concentrates its companies around a particular weapon range. LRMs are common in 1st Company, PPCs in 2nd Company, and autocannons in 3rd Company. I like how they just, like, specialize, you know. Second Battalion uses entirely light and medium mechs with exceptional maneuverability, and Third Battalion is a mix of medium and heavy, especially bruisers like Hunchbacks and Thunderbolts. So another reason why I chose a Hunchback. What do you think? What do you think of the 59th Strike Regiment?
Think of what?
Of that regiment.
It kind of makes me think of the Baja Blasters a little bit.
Yes. Yes, it does. I absolutely, I love that idea for the Baja Blasters as a play style, for sure. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to, you know, hang out with us in the Valhalla Club Discord or on in streams with either myself or more commonly the of Mechs and Men crew. And we, for fun, came up with the Baja Blasters and Baja Blasting Hunchback. So that shirt is going to be made, Kaz, I promise. It's going to happen.
Can't wait.
But then we had the 4th Elysian Rangers, the 9th Elysian Rangers, and the 21st Elysian Rangers. And they are the other regiments that have been around the longest. In the Ill-Clan era, the 21st Rangers are the only ones still around. And they specialize in air mobile operations. So they're renowned for never missing their drop zone when making combat drops. Their fighters are especially adept at ground tactics. And the infantry regiment is a complement of jump infantry troops skilled at space and air insertion, and are exceptional at operating behind enemy lines. The 21st Elysian Rangers are a medium mech regiment, a heavy aerospace fighter wing, and one infantry regiment. So yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool in my book.
Pretty balanced.
Yeah, for sure. The others, the 9th Rangers were fast, light, medium, and you know, kind of had another balance of heavy mechs and stuff like that. They specialized in jump infantry with incendiary operations, so lots of infernos. So, hey, if you want to play with them in a different era, there you go. And then the 4th were the heavy hitters. They're the heaviest regiment. Lots of heavies and assaults. So, and they got a cool symbol with a lance, a sword, and an arrow, which is pretty cool. But yeah, so I think they seem like a pretty fun unit to play. And but what do you think, Kaz? Are you interested in the Elysian Lancers?
Yeah, I think it's really cool that they're pretty much in every era from the beginning to the end.
They really are. Yeah, they are. You know, there are some units that according to the BattleTech lore have been there since the beginning and are still there, and they're one of the few. They didn't disappear. They didn't come back. They didn't get destroyed. Yeah, I think that's it's a really cool unit that has been there. And like you said, I'm not a big fan of khaki and like olive green normally, but somehow with that rust red trim, it works. It does work. So yeah, I'm tempted. I'm tempted to maybe paint up a lance or something. So that would be fun. Anything else you want to say about the Elysian Lancers?
I want to see more of some of their run-ins with Big Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Because it sounds like they've had a lot of run-ins with them along the border there.
Oh, I could see it. But I think definitely in the Ill-Clan era, that would be really cool to see, because the Big Mac are running around being the hammer of the Capellan Confederation.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're primed.
There's fun times ahead.
Primed to fight each other, for sure. No, that would be cool.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I think that that about covers our coverage of the Elysian Lancers. I hope that you all have enjoyed it. You know, learn something new about this fun and interesting and little known but not small mercenary unit. You know, I think the smallest we've ever covered was the Blackthorns, because they had like a company or 15 mechs, maybe. You know, so this is definitely one of the bigger.
GPL smaller?
At
one point.
At one point. But then so were the Blackthorns. The Blackthorns had 5 mechs at one point. So,
touche. You know,
so, but those two, yes, for sure. And the Blackthorns never got bigger than 15 mechs.
Fair.
So, maybe they did. I don't know. Not that we have record of, anyway. Well, hey, Kaz, thank you for joining me this evening. Again, I know it's super late. Definitely several hours past my bedtime, but it is a Friday night. So, do you have any special shout outs that you want to give?
I want to shout out my brother, because he's allowed me to drag him into playing this nerdy stuff, even though he thinks of himself as more of a jock.
Okay.
And my local gaming group, awesome bunch of guys. So glad I finally met them after 2 years of not being able to find anyone to play Battletech with, and now yeah. I got a crew, and it's awesome.
That's great. That is fantastic. Well, for myself, definitely shout out to the Valhalla Club podcast and Discord. There are a whole host of other Battletech podcasts that you can find over there. There is a link in the show notes. Be sure to check it out and come join the conversation. Specifically, Kaz and myself and a bunch of others hang out fairly regularly in the Discord playing MWO and MechWarrior 5. And Brent and Zimmer have been going through the Bungle Tech campaign that is going on, which I did have a hand in helping write. If you don't know what the Bungle Tech campaign is, it's a fun campaign put together by myself and some people, the hosts from Bungle Tech, the podcast, and a couple people from the Mech Bay podcast. And we just wanted to create a fun campaign for people to run. There's been a lot of participation in that. But we basically started at the beginning of the year, and so it's going to wrap up by the end of the year. But that does not mean that you can't go back and start. All the packets are free. You can go check it out. And I hope that you do. So, however, this is going to bring us to the end of the show. Really appreciate you, Kaz, and I hope that you have a fantastic and victorious KSAG when you go. And like I said, thanks for joining. You have been a friend of the show for a long time. I appreciate you. I have a t-shirt that Kaz gave me. I know I've showed it off before, but it's pretty awesome. Has my name on the back. That was a fun surprise at Gen Con last year. And then again, there's a little kind of fun thing that I'm pretty sure Kaz and Bourbon and Seneca are going to reveal at KSAG this year that I get to be a part of from remote, since I don't get to go. But it's going to be fun, so can't wait for everyone to see that. It has to do with our Philhawks. I'm just gonna tell you that. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. Nothing else. No other secrets. But yes, thank you again. Please like and subscribe the YouTube if you have not already. We are so close to 1,000 subs, Kaz. So close. We are like 50 away. That's it.
Almost there.
Yes, almost there. Once we get to 1,000, it does unlock some new features for us. So please, I greatly would appreciate, humbly request your like and subscribes. But also just leave us a review, leave us a comment. I love to interact with you guys. You can also interact with us on that Valhalla Club Discord and on all of our socials. So look forward to seeing you soon. Good night. God bless.